Lecture 12, Emptiness.
In the last couple of lectures, we've talked about the origin of the Mahayana. We've talked about the Bodhisattva ideal as something that ordinary people can practice in this life. And then we took an excursion into the heavens and talked about celestial Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and also talked about how the devotion to those celestial Buddhas and Bodhisattvas constituted a really important part of the Mahayana revolution in the Buddhist tradition. Now, obviously, we've seen that the Mahayana introduced a lot of important changes into the Buddhist tradition by adding these values to that complex tradition that we already now have studied in some detail. But no change was as profound or as far-reaching as the concept that we call emptiness. This is a concept that, in a negative way, challenged or undermined many of the rigid categories of traditional Buddhism. In lots of respects, it seems to pull the rug right out from under traditional Buddhist practice. But also in a more positive way, as we've become accustomed to seeing in the Buddhist tradition, all negative ideas seem to have their positive side. In a more positive way, the concept of emptiness introduced a spirit of affirmation and almost of infinite possibility that wasn't present in the earlier tradition, a spirit that we saw present to some degree in that vision of the cosmos that Suddhana had as he gazed on the body of the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra. So our challenge in this lecture is really to develop for ourselves a balanced understanding of this difficult Mahayana concept, the concept of emptiness. A balanced understanding that will help us account for both its positive and its negative dimensions. I'd also have to say in passing that this is the concept that I've spent most of my adult life studying. This is really where I put my feet down most firmly in the study of the Mahayana. So I present this to you not just with a kind of theoretical interest, but something that sort of strikes me in the gut. The doctrine of emptiness, I think, in a lot of ways, is one of the most profound and challenging religious concepts in the world, and one that if you can grasp, if you can even just get a taste of, will help you see not just the basic categories of Buddhism, but also lots of other important categories in life in a radically different way. So let's start out with a basic analysis of this concept of emptiness. Emptiness can be understood, I think, as a radical extension of the concept of no-self in traditional Buddhism. This is a concept that we've already talked about. And let's lay it out for ourselves somewhat methodically. We asked ourselves now, as the lectures are moving slowly through the study of Buddhism, what concepts of the self have we already learned? Well, one, I suppose, would come from the Upanishads, that old Hindu idea of the eternal self that's identical to Brahman and identical to the one reality that underlies the unity, the diversity of this world. So in the Hindu tradition, the self is identical to Brahman and it is eternal and permanent. The Theravada tradition expresses a traditional Buddhist view that undermines this old Hindu vision of the permanent or eternal self. In traditional Buddhism, there is nothing permanent that endures from one moment to the next. So traditional Buddhists say that there is no self. There is no permanent identity that endures from one moment to the next. All that we see in reality is just a series of momentary phenomena bound together to give the illusion of some kind of continuity, like the flickers in the flame of a candle or the moments in the flow of a river. So the self, according to traditional Buddhism, was made up of a series of momentary phenomena known as dhammas in Pali or as dharmas in Sanskrit. This is a use of the word dharma that we haven't talked about before. It's dharma as fundamental constituent of reality. So the self in traditional Buddhism is simply a flow of momentary phenomena called dharmas.